Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains for Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. Hello and welcome to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty product questions. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me today is a man with an uncanny ability to stop things with his feet before they fall to the ground, Randy Schuler. Hello, Randy.
I don't even know what that means.
You know, that. Remember when we were at work, you would if you dropped something, you could stick your foot out before it hits the ground, and it's just, you have these cat-like reflexes.
Well, thanks for pointing that out to the audience.
Hey, Randy, I was watching movies this weekend, right? And I saw one called Upside Down. Have you seen this movie?
I remember seeing the trailer for that. It looked intriguing.
Yeah. So the premise of this movie is that there's these two worlds where one is upside down to the other one, and a guy falls in love with a girl from the one who's upside down. Anyway, the movie stars Kirsten Dunst, which, you know, loved her in Spider-Man, right?
Yes.
Although her best movie, bar none, was Bring It On, because you know how I love the cheerleader movies.
Sure.
So anyway, I bring this movie up, Upside Down, up because the main character, who's the guy who's in love with Kirsten Dunst, is a cosmetic chemist.
Ah.
Yeah, he creates this anti-aging lotion or something like that. I don't know. And it's probably the first movie where I've ever seen that where the hero is a cosmetic chemist. And, you know, the movie was just okay, but, you know, I have a real hard time with that stupid gravity present because that's not how gravity works at all. But I do think it's cool that a cosmetic chemist was featured as the lead character. So,
and at least he wasn't the super villain, as in the case of all the comic book shows and movies that we talked about a couple of months ago.
Exactly. Well, anyway, the movie's Upside Down. You should check it out.
All right. Hey, before we move on with the show, I wanted to give a little shout out to our listeners.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool.
Well, yeah, because remember we solicited reviews on iTunes, and we said
yes.
Whoever would, you know, take a couple of minutes out of their busy schedule to write a review for us, that we would read those on the show and just give them a little shout-out. So I thought I'd do that right now.
Oh, okay, great.
So here's the first one. This is from Dre, 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 Dre. And Dre, 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 Dre says, I love the Beauty Brains. All podcasts should be more like the Beauty Brains. It's informative and entertaining, and sometimes it's funny. I've listened to every episode, and now I'm smarter and prettier than all my friends. Give me free things.
So, wow, that is awesome.
Thank you for that, Dre, 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 Dre.
Maybe we should have a drawing at the end of the year for people who leave an iTunes comment.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, great.
Make it a little contest. All right, here's another one. This says, eye-opening from Chris E. And she says, wow, very cool information. These guys know everything about cosmetics and their manufacturer. Super interesting and well-presented.
Oh.
And they really will answer your questions. We'll save you from getting ripped off as well. Love these podcasts.
Oh, that is excellent.
And then one more. This one is from S112SA, who says, amazing. I just love the show, the book, and the blog. The best thing is that they provide a transcript so I can translate some topics to my family into Portuguese. I just love the science approach of beauty and cosmetics. Brilliant. So, thank you, everyone.
Ah, well, bravo. Yeah. And it makes us feel good.
Yeah, well, that's the main reason. Yeah.
All right, well, we've got a really big show today. Well, we got a question of the week, and
we do.
Are we going to start out with a game today, though?
Yeah, I thought we'd kick things off with another round of improbable products. You know, I always fritter my free time away. Looking for beauty and personal care products that are just too weird to be true. Then I add one weird product of my own that I just make up and challenge you, Perry, to guess which one is the fake. Of course, our audience can play along at home as well. So this week, there's a theme with all these products. And the theme is that I urge you to beware of these.
Oh.
Yeah, these are products that just make me nervous just thinking about them. So beware of these improbable products this week. So are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, here's product number one. Skin Deep Jewelry. It's planted beneath the skin to capture kinetic energy from blood flowing through your veins and the blinking of your eyes. So you have to like stick this jewelry in your body like a needle. I'm very scared of that. So beware of the Skin Deep Jewelry. All right. Number two, the Skinny Mirror. Unscrupulous stores can trick you into buying ill-fitting lingerie with this mirror that makes your body look slimmer than it really is. So if you don't want to be fooled into wasting money on bad clothes, beware of stores using the Skinny Mirror. And then number three, the Toilet Bowl Shampoo. This new eco-friendly shampoo is made with recycled sewer water. The company claims the water is filtered, purified, and then irradiated, so it's even safe enough to drink. Yeah, they say it's safe enough to drink, but again, it sounds to me like they're putting the poo in shampoo, if you get it. So I'm nervous about that one as well. So there you go. Three products you should be aware of, but one of them is totally made up.
Wow. So the poo and shampoo, that's there's actually a thing called gray water. They use it out west where they have lower water, but I think you can only water your lawn with it. So I'm not sure. All right. Well, let's think about these. So there's the Skin Deep Jewelry. It's supposed to draw the toxins out of your skin. Seems weird. The Skinny Mirror, I totally can buy that. Totally buy that. Although, on the other hand, I mean, I don't get the point for the store why the Skinny Mirror would help them buy stuff. Then the Toilet Bowl Shampoo. Boy, oh boy, these are all pretty improbable. Nicely done today. I'm just going to have to say, I think the Skinny Mirror is the fake one there.
Okay.
Now let me look over to Chance. Hey Chance, what do you think? And Chance is telling me that.
While Perry's doing that, let me explain. Chance, Perry has a deck of playing cards. He's using the cards to simulate having a real person in his life. And then he'll just choose a card at random, and that will be Chance's answer. So that's how that little bit of subterfuge works.
Well, Chance agreed with me. Number two, the Skinny Mirror.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay, so you and Chance both agree that Skin Deep Jewelry is real. And indeed it is. It's the brainchild of the company Energy Addicts. There are actually three pieces of jewelry in this collection, so dig this. There's the Blinker, which is an embedded piece of nose jewelry, which somehow harvests power from blinking. And it's enough to light up an LED or maybe even charge a mobile device. So that's just weird. That's the first piece.
There's the motion, yeah.
Then there's the E-pulse conductor, and that's connected to your spine, where it derives energy sent by your neurological system.
That just sounds scary.
Did you listen to the theme of the show today? And then finally, there's the blood bridge, which has spikes at the end, which are inserted into a vein on your lower arm. And this directs blood flow past a little wheel that, you know, it spins sort of like a windmill, I guess, right? And then that converts that, you know, kinetic energy into electricity. So that's real. I'm still astonished about that. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what else is real? The Skinny Mirror is real.
Oh, come on.
there's a California company has created a mirror that has a secret curve to it, somehow built into the optics. So it tricks viewers into thinking that they're about 10 pounds thinner. And so apparently, I don't understand, just as you did, why the company would do it. But they say that 88% of the customers using the mirror made a purchase of lingerie, while only 73% of people using a regular mirror made a purchase. So it drives more purchasing, but it's also going to ultimately drive dissatisfaction when they get the stuff home and try it on. I don't know. I don't get it.
I guess that's why they do it, if it increases sales.
Yeah, but anyway. So that means that the Toilet Bowl Shampoo is fake. But the story it's based on, I think, is even worse. There's a California company that is ultra-purifying toilet water to turn it into drinking water.
Right.
So that's perhaps even worse than using it in shampoo, but that's
well, that's because you're not eco-friendly. I mean, we need to recycle our water, my man.
Well, I would certainly use it for watering my yard, as you mentioned, but anyway. But there is no toilet bowl shampoo, which I guess the bottom line is you lose.
But I think there should be a toilet bowl shampoo. And I love that tagline. We're putting the poo in shampoo.
Nice. All right. Well, that's always fun. Thanks to you and Chance for playing.
All right. Well, do we have a question of the week today?
Yes. Yeah, let me play a question of the week. And this one comes to us from Lisa.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lisa, and I wanted to know, can the trilogy oil really light in hyperpigmentation or minor scars? Thank you.
Well, thanks to Lisa for that question. Actually, she submitted her question in our forum, and then she was kind enough to follow up with an audio question. So essentially, Lisa wants to know about the anti-aging benefits of rosehip oil. And as faithful listeners of the program know, whenever we're looking at anti-aging ingredients, we always apply the three Kligman questions.
Kligman questions.
Does the product penetrate skin? Is there a mechanism for how it could work? And are there tests on real people to prove that it works? But before we answer those Kligman questions, first let's talk about the oil itself. You know, Shakespeare said, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet," but I don't think he had a clue about the complexity of rose oil chemistry. So Perry, why don't you explain that to our audience?
Yes, very clever. Actually, I think... they weren't isolating organic molecules in the time of Shakespeare, so you are correct. He probably didn't know about that. Well, it turns out, let's talk about rosehip oil. There are two fundamentally different types of oil that you can squeeze from a rose. The first is rose petal oil, which is probably what most people think of when they think of rose oil. And that's essential. It's an essential oil which is used in perfumery. As you'd expect, rose flower oil comes from the petals of the flower.
Makes sense.
Now, the other type of oil is rose hip oil, which comes from the hip of the plant. And so what is the hip, you think? You know, right down there by your pelvis. The hip, which is also called the hem or the haw, is the radish-shaped berry-like portion that's left behind after the flower blooms. It's also where the seeds of the plant reside. So that's why this oil is also sometimes called rose seed oil.
You know, here's an interesting piece of trivia. You know, back in the 60s, you know, the so-called flower children used to wear strings of rose hips around their neck, and that's how they got the name hippies.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, actually, that's not true. I just made that up, but it sounds so plausible.
That always reminds me of the joke, you know, what do you call a hippie's wife? Mississippi.
Well done. So to make things even more confusing, you can extract rosehip oil from many different types of roses. There's Rosa damascena, which is the damask rose, which is grown in Russia and Turkey and other places. There's the Rosa centifolia, which is called the cabbage rose. That's more commonly grown in Morocco, France, and Egypt. I mean, the list goes on and on. And in fact, the American Rose Society currently recognizes 37 different classes of roses. So wow. You know, at every American Rose Society meeting, they're like arguing over, you know, is this a new class? Is this a subclass? Is this an offshoot? No, it's a new class. I get to name it. Right? That's got to be a mess.
Yeah.
But
37 different types of roses. Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of different colors, but who knew?
Different types. So anyway, this is important because different roses yield oils with different concentrations of the active ingredients, which we'll talk about in a second. So from what we've seen, the variation that's considered true rose hip seed oil is produced from the seeds of the Rosa rubignosa, which is... has about three different synonyms. One of them is called the Rosa moschetta or mesquita. So as I said, it's a little confusing trying to figure out, you know, first of all, is it really rose hip oil and not rose flower oil? And then secondly, is it rose hip oil from the right kind of rose?
So let's go over what's important to understand if you're buying a product with rose petal oil or rose hip oil. It's important to know because chemically these two oils are pretty different. So rose flower oil consists of a variety of aroma chemicals, including citronellol, geraniol, phenyl ethyl alcohol, and a bunch of others. In fact, some of those are even allergens, and which have to be listed on the ingredient list. Now, these smell great, of course, but you wouldn't want to use these on your skin because the aroma chemicals can be pretty irritating. Now, rose hip oil, on the other hand, is composed of a long chain fatty molecules that are both saturated and unsaturated. So just to kind of go back and explain that, so fatty oils in nature from plants are typically made up of fatty acids. And fatty acids are just hydrocarbons, and hydrocarbons are just molecules that are made of both carbon and hydrogen. And then they're fatty acids because at the end of them they have a carbon and two oxygen groups. So whenever you get an oil like coconut oil or vegetable oil or sunflower oil or our good friend argan oil, they are all made up of primarily these fatty acids, and the length of the molecules varies depending on the type of oil that you have. So there are polyunsaturated fatty acids. Now these are usually those hydrocarbons. They have single bonds in them, but sometimes if they're unsaturated, there's going to be a double bond, and so these double bonds kind of give a different characteristic to the oil. So polyunsaturated fatty acids would be something like oleic acid. Now, this is in rosehip oil at anywhere from 10 to 20%. Then there's cis-linoleic acid, which is that's a both of these are have 18 carbons in them, and they have a double bond in there. That's anywhere from 41 to 50%. Then we have alpha-linoleic acid, anywhere from 26 to 37%. And then there are the saturated fatty acids that you'll find in the rosehip oil, which include palmitic acid, anywhere from 3 to 5%, and then stearic acid, which is anywhere from 1 to 3%. You'll also find in this oil substances such as transretinoic acid, tannins, flavonoids, then some vitamins, vitamin C and beta carotene. But the important thing here is to understand that rosehip oil contains a large concentration of linoleic acid, which is really good for skin, and a lesser concentration of some other known anti-aging actives. So let's talk about the stuff that is supposedly good for the skin.
Yeah, so what it does rosehip oil, what's it supposed to do? And you got a little taste out of that from Lisa's question, but I went to the website for the Trilogy company, which is one of the marketers of pure rosehip oil. So according to them, they say that this product helps improve the appearance of scars, stretch marks, fine lines, and wrinkles, and that it delivers all-over nourishment and repair for optimum skin health. And then also, depending on the source, you may hear that rosehip oil is good for brightening the complexion and getting rid of dark age spots. So what's the deal? Is rosehip really good for skin or not? Let's get back to those Kligman questions.
If you remember the Kligman question, these are the three questions that we use, and you can use too, to decide whether an ingredient is really something special or it's something that's just a marketing gimmick. So let's talk about the first question. Is there some mechanism by which this ingredient would have some effect? So the first question about rosehip oil is to see, could it provide any of the benefits we talked about? So it turns out there are some plausible reasons to believe rosehip oil could, at least in theory, be a good anti-aging agent. First, as we talked about, one of the main components is linoleic acid, which is recognized as an important component of cell membranes. It is known to be involved in prostaglandin synthesis, membrane generation, and other cell regeneration processes. This could explain how rosehip oil may help diminish stretch marks and scars, for example. Now, next, it also contains a form of retinoic acid, which has been proven to be effective against fine lines and wrinkles. We talked about that in a previous show. And then it also contains vitamin C, which has several benefits, including the ability to brighten complexion and diminish dark spots. So, check mark on that one. There's at least a theoretical reason that rosehip oil, could have an effect.
All right. Well, then let's move on to the second question, which deals with whether or not these components in rosehip oil can actually penetrate through the skin to get to the point where they could possibly work. Because if they just sit on the surface, they're not going to do much. They have to get down below into the deeper structure of skin. So once exactly. again, it appears the answer is yes. So for these active components we just talked about, the linoleic acid, the retinoic acid, and vitamin C in particular, all of those have been shown to penetrate skin in order to be functional. Now, you know, before you start hopping up and down with excitement because rosehip oil sounds so good, you know, let me throw out one note of caution. You also have to consider how much of these active components are present in rosehip oil to understand if enough will penetrate the skin to provide a benefit. So in the case of linoleic acid, I mean, that's making up somewhere between, what, a third and a half of the oil? So
right.
if you're using straight rosehip oil, I would expect there's plenty of that oily material to help moisturize and, you know, provide some benefit to skin. But for, you know, for the retinoic acid and the vitamin C, there's very little there to begin with. According to one study, vitamin C is only present in rosehip oil at about 2%. Now, that's really low, and just let me give you some context here. The numbers for vitamin C in a cream or lotion need to be somewhere between 0.3 on the lowest end and up to 10% on a higher functional end. So 0.2 is really, really on the low end. So I
right.
wouldn't expect that you would see much benefit from vitamin C, even though it's present.
All right, and so that brings us to the third question, and this is really always the toughest one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the most important question. Is there proof that it really works when delivered from a cream on people? And so, you know, while something might hypothetically work and it could hypothetically penetrate, unless it's been proven using placebo-controlled double-blind
right.
studies, you have to still remain skeptical. So let's look at some of the evidence for some of the benefits that rosehip oil supposedly provides. First, there is scar treatment. We found a couple of studies that evaluated the effect rosehip oil has on scars. The first thing is done. First one is done by Trilogy, a company that's selling Trilogy rosehip oil. Now, it's a small study with only 10 subjects. The subjects were instructed to apply rosehip oil twice daily and not use any other skincare products. The evaluators assessed the effect on both new scars and old scars at intervals of 4, 8, and 12 weeks. The results showed that the following: 41% improvement in the color of scars, 27% improvement in the appearance of scars, and a 26% improvement in visible area of scars. So, by the way, these ratings were done both by a clinician and a self-assessment, which is pretty common in skin type studies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is certainly encouraging, and while we applaud them for sharing their data, it's a really small base size, right? And it's not a blinded study, and it's not placebo controlled, and the company, it is sponsored by a company that's selling rosehip
right,
oil.
Right.
You know, so that means we don't really know if rosehip oil works any better than a regular moisturizing cream. So we should also mention that Trilogy did another study on stretch marks with the same test design and had almost identical results. Now, fortunately, we found another study that's a little more rigorous. This study was done on mastectomy patients. It was also done with 10 panelists, but they used a control group, so I'm assuming that means they had five test subjects and five control subjects, which now we're talking a very small base
yeah.
size. They had the patients apply a 26% solution of rosehip oil for 8 weeks, and they noticed increased skin growth in the saturated areas. So my concern with the study, other than the small base size, is that it really only measures scar preventions that has nothing to do with getting rid of existing scars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I couldn't find out how the control group was treated. If the control group received no treatment at all, then the study really only proves that applying some kind of oil helps protect the skin while it's healing a wound. Again, it's encouraging, but it certainly doesn't prove that rosehip oil works better than anything else.
Yeah.
Now, there were a couple of other studies we found, but there wasn't a clear control, and I couldn't determine the base size, but these studies did supposedly show an effect on post-surgical scars. So what does all this mean? There doesn't appear to be any clear-cut evidence that rosehip oil diminishes scars. Now, I would also like to see them compare, say, rosehip oil to, say, something like sunflower oil, right?
Right.
Which has almost the same chemical composition if you look at the fatty acid distribution. So I don't know. From this data, I'm not terribly convinced of the magic for rosehip oil, but let's look at some other traits.
Yeah, so we talked about, you know, skin lightening and getting rid of dark spots as a potential benefit. So the only study we could find in this regard was not done on rosehip oil, but on an alcoholic extraction from rosehips, which is different, right? Because some of the components that are soluble in alcohol may not be soluble in oil, so you could be pulling out different active agents that might work differently. So it's hard to take too much from this. But in this case, the researchers did an in vitro test using melanoma cells from mice, so just, mm-hmm. you know, in little glass dishes in the laboratory. And then they did an in vivo test on living guinea pigs where they gave it to them orally. Now, the results in both cases showed a reduction in the processes that result in skin pigmentation, and they actually recommended that orally ingested rosehip extract may be effective for skin lightening. But it's hard to say what this means for topically applied rosehip oil on people since, you know, again, they tested compounds that were, you know, an alcoholic extract and not in the oil, and they're extrapolating two different animal test pieces of data that don't necessarily correlate to human use. So I would say at best, you know, you could look at these results optimistically and say that more research should be done.
Sure.
But it's far from proof that rosehip oil is good for skin lightening.
Yeah. And then there's wrinkles and moisturization, right? So does it work for this? We found another study by Trilogy, this time with 20 female subjects, 50% of which had dry skin. They applied rosehip oil twice daily for 8 weeks, and the researchers measured wrinkle depth and assessed skin roughness and moisture level. Again, standard skin testing protocols. Now, these results showed 44% improvement in skin moisture, 23% improvement in fine lines and wrinkles, and 21% smoother skin. So this is certainly not surprising, since most any good moisturizer will give similar results. And again, the study was not blinded or placebo-controlled, so there's nothing to indicate that this product is better than, you know, something that's cheaper.
Right.
Now, I should say, you know, I keep sort of snidely mentioning that this was these things were done by Trilogy, and they're trying to sell rosehip oil. Just because that is the case about research, a company-sponsored research can sometimes be good, but you just have to look at the data. And for example, in these studies, Trilogy isn't—they're not trying to really prove that rosehip oil is the best thing to use. They're just trying to prove that it works. If they were doing a more thorough study, the kind of study we'd like to see, they would have compared not only rosehip oil, but they would have compared it to, say, a standard lotion, which is something you'd expect to moisturize, or to something else that also you'd expect to be good on wrinkles.
Like sunflower oil, you mentioned having a similar chemical composition. Why not test against that? Because it's certainly much cheaper.
Exactly. But so just because a company sponsors research doesn't mean you necessarily have to reject it, but you have to certainly look at it with more scrutiny than if it was a university research.
Yeah, that's fair. So there's one other benefit I wanted to briefly mention, and this one actually wasn't claimed at all for the Trilogy product, but it's the idea that rosehip oil can act as an anti-inflammatory. And I did find one study in PubMed to that effect. So these researchers tested an extract from the dogwood rose. So again, that's different, a different style of rose. So I don't know how much of a difference that makes, but the composition is going to vary somewhat. And again, they tested an alcoholic extraction, not an oil extract, so that's another difference.
Right.
So, you know, take the results with a grain of sodium chloride, as they say. And then in addition, this was once again animal testing. In this case, they did rat paw testing for edema, which is swelling. And then they also tested rosehip extract orally on, I think it was on rats, to see how it would mitigate damage to the stomach lining. So the researchers concluded that altogether the data demonstrates that this Rosa canina extract does have anti-inflammatory properties and suggests that it has a potential role for the management of inflammatory-related diseases. So perhaps there are some drug benefits here that, you know, have yet to be discovered, which is great. But again, for our discussion for topically applied rosehip oil for skin benefits, you know, it was a different type of extract. It was, the tests were done using a specific animal model. You know, it just may or may not apply to, you know, skin benefits. There's really just no way to know. So
right. So let's look at the bottom line here for Lisa. Rosehip oil is a good moisturizer, and it does contain some chemicals that, in theory, could have an anti-aging effect. However, even though it does have a plausible mechanism, and at least some of the components have been shown to penetrate the skin, there's really little direct data to prove that it works when applied to real people. There's enough animal and in vitro testing to indicate that there may be something worthwhile here, but the only direct testing on people for the things that are important, like scar healing and skin lightening, these are very, very small tests, and they didn't compare rosehip oil to, say, other treatments that might be less expensive and even maybe more effective. You know, for example, if you're trying to reduce scars, there's much more evidence that silicone sheets are effective. And if you're trying to lighten your complexion, ingredients like hydroquinone or niacinamide, they're proven to be effective and they're much less expensive too. But if you do decide to use rosehip oil, here are a few tips for you. First, make sure you're buying the right kind of rose oil. Now, don't be fooled into thinking that a cream scented with rose petal oil will work the same way. There just aren't the same chemicals, so it won't. Also, look for the pure oil, since this is going to have the highest concentration of the active ingredients. Anytime you get a cream or lotion with rosehip oil in it, it's necessarily going to be diluted by a lot more. And then finally, if you must use a cream or lotion, make sure that the rosehip oil is listed as the first or second ingredient. We know from some of the studies we looked at, it takes 15 to 20% of this oil to actually have any effect.
Yeah, so a cream where that's, you know, way down the ingredient list and they threw in 1% just to make it look good, it's even less likely that the rosehip oil would do anything. So just watch that out. So, well, those are good tips for Lisa. Let me add one more tip for her.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, if she wants to learn more about beauty products, she could pick up a copy of our book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
And if she gets that from our website, she'll get a copy with our autograph. Or she can buy an electronic copy on Amazon.com or the iTunes iBook store, wherever electronic books are sold. We are there.
Yeah. All right. Hey, just as a reminder, I learned this weekend or last weekend, I learned that the Dr. Oz show that I was on is supposed to play this week sometime. So I don't know the air date, but it's going to be this week.
All right. Well, watch the website, thebeautybrains.com, for an update. I'm sure we'll do a post when that goes live.
Or watch our Twitter feed. I'm sure we'll update that.
Yeah, we'll put that on Facebook as well. Great.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, Perry, thanks for another great show and another great attempt on your part to win the Improbable Products game.
Well, I know how it makes you feel good when I lose. All right. Well, it was good chatting with you, Randy. And until next time, remember, thanks for stopping by.
Remember to be brainy about your beauty. Goodbye, everybody.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime.